You know, when witnesses from Medjugorje share in a meeting, large meeting, the messages from Mary, we see that the listeners are still glued to their seats after 3 hours. They can't tear themselves away. They are so enthralled by the way Mary talks about Jesus, about the Father, about love, about her own motherly heart. You know, 3 hours go by, sometimes four, and we have to tell the audience, hey, it's getting late, it's time to go. And some parish priests often say, as for me, you know, I have to wage a constant battle to keep my parishioners in church for three little quarters of an hour. And that's a maximum at the end of 45 minutes. I can see they're ready to leave. You know, this is a terrible state of affairs. But you know, in Medjugorje, we have a cure for this situation. Mary, the mother of Jesus, explained the Mass to us as nowhere else. If we understand the Mass the way she explains it, we could have an hour-long Mass or 2 hours long or even 3 hours long Mass as we do in Medjugorje. Because there, even after 3 hours of evening prayer in the church, many pilgrims don't even want to leave. You know, they have prepared themselves for Holy Mass for an hour with the rosary and the short time of the apparition. During the next hour, they have lived the Mass. Then comes the third hour with the blessing of the Regis articles and the healing service, and lastly the third rosary. And at the end of these 3 hours, they feel like they've been in heaven. They have received Jesus. They have understood the Mass deeply, even though most of them don't understand a word of Croatian. And when they come out of the church of St. James, it's like they radiate with divine rays. They are filled with that light. And they want only to come back the next day, you know. And I know many of them who told their parish priests when they got back home, Father, if only we could have the same evening program of prayer here in this parish as they do in Medjugorje. And that's exactly what some parishes are doing today. I know of several where the faithful have the good sense of the true reality of the Mass. They are no longer unconscious or bored. No, they stand happy before the living God. It's amazing to see that. We are unconscious at Mass because we are actually looking for love. We seek the light, and there we are, stiff as a board, as if we were there only to suffer a tedious affair. Jeez, when will this be over? Because we haven't entered into the Mass. Many people finish up their prayer without having even entered into it. And she says also, dear children, the churches are full of unbelievers. And when they heard that, the visionaries reacted and asked Our Lady Gospa, how can you speak this way? If someone goes to Mass, it's because he's a believer. But Our Lady answered, many come to Mass not to have a personal encounter from the heart with God, but because of habit or tradition, or in order to meet other people. And I'm telling you, these are like unbelievers. Well, we know that Mary doesn't call them unbelievers, but those who do not know yet the love of God. We might go to church, we may behave as an unbeliever. The Blessed Mother invites us to come to Mass in order to have a meeting with God, a personal encounter with God. And it's exactly what the Mass is, a loving embrace between the living God and ourselves. And we don't go home the same as we arrived. The Blessed Mother also recommends us that, dear children, put Holy Mass at the center of your life. You know, the Blessed Mother is not one of those sugar-sweet mummies who kisses and hugs you all day long and who says, honey, sweetie, everything you do is just wonderful and you don't have to change your ways and let me get you your little blankie and stay here all warm and cozy. No, Our Lady is not this way. The Blessed Mother is a strong woman. She's ready to anything to see the kingdom of God at any cost, whatever it takes from her. In fact, she has taken the kingdom of God so much by storm that she has taken the Son of God by storm too. She conquered the Son as much by the violence of her love as by her purity. Yes, Mary is fierce in her love, as were Catherine of Siena, Saint Francis of Assisi, or Saint Faustina, or Padre Pio. It is the man of violence who sees away the kingdom of heaven. Jesus himself is speaking this way in the Gospel about John the Baptist, man of violence who sees the kingdom of God. When God offers something, he finds a variety of responses. Some people will take, say, 10% of what he is offering. Others will take 50%, still others 99%, and there are those who will take the whole 100%. And then there are those who clamor for even more and take 150%. How about Mary? She's taken 1,000% in the courage of her love. And the Mother of God recenters us on her living Son, who leads us to the Father. If we're unfortunate enough to have someone or something else at the center of our life, this is an illness we need to get over. It's a disorder. In America, for example, sports reign like a god. In schools and universities, everywhere, you see the time and the money dedicated to sports are really excessive. They place so much emphasis on sports and games that it's hard for the student to escape the adoration of athletics. Unless, of course, they don't go themselves out for any sports at all. That's a real perversion, you know. And this bond with sports is inappropriate. In Medjugorje, Mary herself remarked on this when speaking to the young people she trained. She said, avoid sports in excess. And she says this because one might end up thinking of nothing else, you know. And the result is that people prefer going to a game or watching a game on TV to going to Mass or praying, opening themselves up to what is of lasting value. That's where the deviancy lies. Who is on the altar? The ball. For many people, you know, the center of their lives is their health. They're constantly concerned about their bodies and they spend much time analyzing each and every little sore, going from doctor to doctor, cutting out medical articles from magazines and concocting tonics on their own and trying to squeeze as much out of their health insurance as possible. Well, it's certain that the more they squeeze, the sicker they get. The best way to lose our health is to be obsessed with it. It's so sad to see people putting their body and their health at the center of their life. They are actually betting on the wrong horse. Well, our flesh is meant to die. And these people, very often, they inject themselves with the poison of depression. That's a real consequence of this. That's a real nightmare to be so self-absorbed. Of course, it's important to care for the body that the Lord has entrusted to us, to go for regular checkups, for example. But one thing is to do it the right way and peacefully. Another thing is to think of nothing else. If we would put God at the first place in our life and not our health, what a liberation. If we remove from our cupboards useless medicines, just think of the space you would free up. Other things can easily be at the center of our life besides God. If it's your husband, get him out of there. If it's your child, get him out of there. This will allow them to fit in the order the Lord has given for your family. It is in putting Jesus alive at the center of your life that your husband or your kid or whoever will be able to fit in the right place, which means to be adjusted to the order that God gave for your family, and this only will make them much happier. You want your husband happier? You want your child happier? Do that. Because your husband, your kid, does not have the vocation to be at the center. It was not for that they have been created. If you've put them at the center, they will definitely suffer from the perversion of that relationship. Same for the husbands. Is your wife at the center? You've got to get her out of there and put Jesus in that spot instead. In this way only, you'll make your wife much happier. Suppose that one day an accident occurs, or one day she becomes interested in another man, or she becomes severely sick. If she were indeed the center of your life, then you would become desperate. You would lose everything you have in losing her. But instead, if Jesus is at the center of your life, you can survive such an ordeal. Our Lady comes to put first things first, according to God's design in His creation. But this demands concrete, real changes, real active moves. Are you ready? Now, what should Mass be at the center of our life? Why? Why give so much importance to Mass when today we can count off the fingers of one hand those who attend daily Mass in a parish? Just because Jesus comes alive. That's it. He comes alive. Dear children, Mary says, during Mass, my son comes alive. Go and take him. Let no excuse keep you from him. She also says, dear children, I wish that you go to Mass as often as the circumstances allow you to do so. I wish that you go to Mass every day, if possible. Dear children, Holy Mass cannot be replaced by anything else. Many of you think that they may replace Holy Mass with an act of charity. No, dear children, first live Holy Mass, and then you will receive the strength of the Holy Spirit in order to work charitable acts. Holy Mass is the greatest and the most powerful prayer, she said. Dear children, live Holy Mass with the heart.